Welcome back, kings, queens, everything in between, to another episode of the Peasant Party Podcast. It's Wednesday, and I'm your host, Charlotte Warren. And to my right, I have a returning guest.
Buddy, my name's Buddy. I haven't been on in a long time.
Yeah. What's new since then, aside from the setting looking very different?
I've since moved to Austin. So it's great so far. Yeah, we're about a month. Yeah, about a month in-ish.
Yeah. How do you like it?
Great. It's kind of a weird feeling, honestly. And I've had this conversation with a bunch of our friends. I don't know if I've actually said this to you or not, but it's kind of weird, honestly, because it doesn't feel like I moved across the country. Mm-hmm. But I think that's just because for 2 years, every 3 to 4 weeks, I was coming for 4 days at a time. And then in the summer for 2.5 weeks. And then at Christmas for a week. And in the spring for a week. And so I think because I've visited so much that I have friends here. And I've met all of your friends, obviously. And I've been to everything that you do in a daily, I know the guys here are great. I've been here often. So it doesn't really even feel like I've moved yet.
Yeah.
It's not in a weird way. I'm not waiting on the ball to drop, but it feels very normal.
There's not surprises.
Yeah. Feels very normal. I mean, which I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I feel at home.
Yeah. Well, I love that. That is my goal, is to make people feel at home, whether it's this podcast or at my physical house or just with me in general. Home is a feeling, not a place. Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Because I feel like something that people would say about long distance relationships or the big cautionary tale of this is something that makes long distance relationships not work out is anytime you get together is basically a vacation. It's a weekend getaway. It's weekend trips. You never actually see that person. What do they do on a daily basis? It's always their place or yours for a weekend, or you go somewhere else together for a weekend. And then, you try to move in together and all of a sudden it's whoa, I wasn't expecting this. I feel like just given your schedule, your career, and just kind of how things panned out, you got to see boring stuff along the way. So you knew what you were getting yourself into.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I also think that we had that conversation early on about not making it that, about every trip, every visit, not being a vacation, not being a weekend getaway. We've talked about this in other aspects of life and discussing other people as well, but I think it's really important in a relationship to do everyday life things, whether you're long distance or live in the same town or whatever, not to make everything an event. Mm-hmm. Because I love you, I think you're amazing, but if I was going to a concert with my friend or your friend or my cousin or my mom, I'm going to have a good time. So when you're doing things, it's really easy to have a good time. Mm. It's who can you, sit on the couch and watch TV with, or who can you banter back and forth about dinner? Or who can you have a disagreement on a social or political issue with and then still go to Cabo Bob's afterwards, or, stuff like that. I think that normal life things are really important to experience before you decide to make a long-term commitment to somebody. Because if all you're doing is going out and partying, if all you're doing is taking trips, if all you're doing is going to concerts, those things are great too. Mm. But if that's all you do, you could do those things with anybody and have a good time.
Yeah. Are you falling in love with a person or
just having a good
restaurant
time,
or a vacation? Do you love this person or do you love the resort?
Sure.
Yeah. And that's why you like coffee dates as your first dates.
Yeah. Because that's something that actually forces you to talk.
Yeah. Strip out the frills.
Yeah, when do you think in the dating process, because I think ours was a little abnormal, but when do you think you should bring up major things to your partner? When do you think you should talk about whether or not you want to have kids? When do you think you should talk about whether you are religious or if politics is a divisive issue for you? At what point?
Well, I think there's, and I feel like I've always talked about this, but there's ways to bring that up as a low stakes conversation. I think anytime someone's how do I bring up that I want kids, or how do I bring up politics? It's those things can be brought up in normal, natural conversations that are fun and friendly, that feel like how you would talk to a person, without it being okay, I need to talk to you about something. Like, I want to have X amount of kids by this day or this time. Like, if those things are important to you, like, you should know how to talk about them naturally. Like, I don't, because I've always been like, I've never been shy of like, you know, when I have kids, like, oh, like I'm so excited to be a parent. And but I've never said those kinds of things as like a, hey, like, as an FYI, I want to have X amount of kids by this day, by this time. And I feel like you say those things and people just ask layered questions off that, whether it's like marriage, kids, like I feel like those things come up quickly because if you're excited about them in a way that feels normal and natural, I don't know.
I don't disagree, but I don't think that that happens in every relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that some people maybe are in that like going with the flow thing. I mean, I can think of two relationships in particular of people that have been in my life where they did not make, let me rephrase my whole statement. I don't necessarily think that you should sit down and say like, I believe in this, this, and this, and I think that this, and this, and I want this, this, and this. But I do think that you should make sure that you and your partner are on the same page at some point.
Yeah.
Because I know of multiple people that have been in my life that are with someone long term that don't button down those issues.
Mm-hmm.
Where maybe they don't have the exact same views on something and then they stay unsettled. And one of them, it was someone that was really close to me and ended up being the demise of their a lot more than their relationship, but their relationship as well. I mean, they were 11 years in, 10 years in, and hadn't decided whether or not they were going to have kids. And if they did, if they were going to raise them in the church and like things like that. So I think just because you talk about it, a lot of things in relationships, just like it may come up in passing, but you don't ever make like a distinct, like shit or get off the pot moment, I guess.
Yeah, no, and yeah, you're totally right. Because I think maybe I'm thinking of like those early dating conversations where it's like, you know, people are like, don't ever talk about marriage and kids on the first date. It's kind of like, if, you know, I'm someone who's enthusiastic about starting a family, and those kinds of things would just come up, but in more of like a, you know, oh yeah, like when I have kids, it was always just a when. And you know, if someone was also excited about the idea of having a family, it would be how many brothers and sisters you have, like how many kids do you want, or some, it would turn into that quickly. Or like I've said that and I would watch someone squirm in their seat and get a little weird and quiet. And yeah. Then I would know like, oh, this person's here for something else.
Yeah. I mean, like I think politics is an easy one to kind of go through that with, because politics has become like social as well in a way that like it wasn't. Like, I don't know about you, but I never heard my parents talk about politics.
No, I'm from a house divided. Ever. Sorority recruitment, it was always like no talking about boys, the Bible, the politics. Like it was, you know, you don't talk about politics was like a thing. And now it's like so ingrained. Like,
what's a $1 billion business for not even actual politicians, but like media?
Oh, for sure.
You know, things like that. It's their numbers wax and wane as if all politics were like smooth sailing and everybody got along and just was like, oh, I guess this is how it is now and I don't really care, whatever, then the media would fall apart. That's like so much of what they do.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, you can just kind of gauge the temperature of conversation because something that is inherently political is going to come up. That one's kind of an easy one.
Yeah. I also think something is political, like something political matters to you, it will come up like naturally. And, you know, people are, it's like, oh, I didn't realize his views were this. It's usually because he believes it kind of. Like, it's not a strong belief. Like, people who are loud about their political views, like, make it known or, like, go out of their way to ask about it. And if you just kind of stumble across realizing someone disagrees with you and none of you ever went out of your way to bring it up, maybe it's, you feel differently, but it's not that big of a deal. I don't know.
I also think if you're hard opposed to something, it's on you to make it the deal breaker and leave or let it be the line in the sand. Like if you wanted kids and I did not want kids, then it's on you to go, well, I'm going to go find someone to have kids with if you don't want them, which I don't think you should try to convince someone to have kids that doesn't want kids. But anyway, but same thing, like if something's a line in the sand, I think you have to draw that.
Oh, for sure.
I think it's on, you can't just like let it kind of teeter, because I think then you get into gray areas and then eventually those things come to a head. You can't ignore it for forever.
Yeah, no. And yeah, like I think if someone's like, if no one's just scared of a statement by itself or like a, you know, if someone's your partner and you say like, hey, there's something I just need to like clarify that's it's important to me. Like if I were to bring up something that I've brought up as, you know, lighthearted, like, hey, by the way, I just like want you to know I really do want to have kids. That's important to me. Like, I don't like you wouldn't run away because of that statement. Unless you were really like, oh,
if you
fuck.
Want kids too, it wouldn't bother you, right?
Yeah. We just have some really fun questions today. My 32 female friend just got out of a 6-year long-term relationship. How should I, 37 male, approach asking her out? So I've been hanging out with a girl as a close friend that just moved to my city for about a year. Or she moved to my city a year ago. I don't know. We met at a party. She was new to the area. I like showing people around the city and making new friends. I figured I would offer that to her if she were interested, and she accepted. She mentioned her boyfriend early on, and he'd come up every now and then. That was a boundary I always respected, but I definitely found her attractive, and we have a lot in common, and she's definitely someone I would have pursued had she been single, but that was not the case, and I respect that boundary. We love that, King. Anyway, on our last hangout, about a year since we met, I casually mentioned ending a situationship with a mutual connection of ours. She then broke the news to me that she broke up with her boyfriend. Now that leaves me wondering if I should ask her out. I don't know how to approach this. My gut says give her time to heal, but I also feel like she was probably checked out of her from her relationship 8 months or so ago. She's a catch, and I am worried if I wait too long, someone else might come along. She also mentioned more than once that it takes her some time to open up and trust people to like someone. Also, it doesn't feel like a coincidence that she brought up her breakup after I'd just shared similar news. Any thoughts here? Do I ask her out, and if so, how?
Yeah, maybe make it like a one-on-one thing, like just ask her to, I mean, I always say coffee, but like ask her to go grab ice cream or
do the same things you've been doing and just let her keep talking.
Yeah. And I think like make them feel a little bit more special, but gradually, like if you're already hanging out, they said they were hanging out one-on-one.
Yeah. He didn't specify.
Hang out specifically one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Something pretty casual. Ask her to go to an ice cream parlor or coffee. Ice cream's also a good date, by the way. We talked about this the other night because you can try flavors and talk about them. Mm-hmm. So if you have like a salt and straw or a Van Leeuwen, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I'm not cultured enough, sorry. Or a Jenny's or something like that. Mm-hmm. Go in, try a couple different things. You can talk about them. You can get unique flavors, try each other's stuff like that. Anyway, do something that's kind of light. One-on-one, if that goes well, then just say like, or maybe ramp it up and go to like a, invite her to a dinner where she's going to have to like think about what she wears.
Mm-hmm. Tapas is always fun. You get to mix and match and share.
Well, I don't know about topless.
Wear your clothes to your dates.
Don't invite her to the yellow rose or the red rose or the blue rose.
Or if you want to take her and get some nice jewelry, the yellow rose by Kendra Scott, how so that weird. Became.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Distracted. But I think like inviting her to like a dinner at a steakhouse or a nice sushi place or somewhere like that is a way to kind of gauge interest. Cause I mean,
you're not gonna feel like a lot too soon. Like a steak, like we're going from one-on-one hangouts to steakhouse.
I mean, I think if you've known someone for a year and you want to know if they are interested in spending time with you in a more intimate way, I think if it's nothing and it's just two people going on like a date, so to speak, that's in at a nice dinner. If it's a date, then it feels like a date. If it doesn't, it feels like you're hanging out with a friend. Mm. If they decline or bring up like, I don't know if I'm ready to date. Mm-hmm. It kind of like allows you to do that. But doesn't have to be a date. Just want to hang out. Like I do find you very interesting, but I know you just get out of something. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to like rush you into that. That's like maybe a way to open the door. Because mm-hmm. if you don't, if you just say, I mean, you could say like, hey, I know you just broke up with your boyfriend and I want, you know, would like a shot before someone else does. That's going to seem super forward. And,
yeah. But how direct should you be? Because like, I agree, like whatever you do, it has to feel different so that she knows it's a date. But sometimes it's kind of like maybe you just throw the ball out there of like, hey, like this is a date, so that it's not, I don't know, like mincing words or anything like that. Like,
I think maybe afterwards you just kind of see how the vibe is. Mm-hmm. You know when you're on a date. Yeah. Like, people are not stupid. But I do think that girls get weird with guys when they try to pull out of that friend zone area sometimes. And that's essentially what he's doing. He's mm-hmm. pulling out. He's trying to, like, drag himself out of the friend zone. But you're already comfortable with one another. Yeah. If you're willing to go on to, like, a casual ice cream and walk around the park kind of date because mm-hmm. she already knows you and feels comfortable, then maybe then you step it up to something where she has to, like, actually get ready and think about what she's going to wear and show up on time. And it's a, you know, a more romantic setting.
Yeah. Like, there's no confusion if you invite someone to a steakhouse.
That's what I'm saying.
If you've, like, been
if
doing
you, if you ask her to go to Jay Carver's with you and, you know.
You don't do that with your friends.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to go do that with. Well, I think a good judge on, like, if it's a date or not is, like, would I do that with one of your female friends?
Or, like, one of your male friends? Like, would you and...
That's different because I would go sit and have, like, a nice steak dinner with the guys.
Yeah.
That's different.
But you're, like, a steak connoisseur.
But I think a lot of guys would do that. Like, go to grab a steak and a whiskey with a friend. Like, there's nothing... Mm-hmm. That's pretty common for the guys to do, actually. Mm-hmm. But, like, I would go...
Like, would it be weird to be seen here with a woman who's not my wife or girlfriend?
Yeah, so, like...
It's a good... Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
like...
That's a good litmus.
You're out of town a couple days next week. Mm-hmm. If I was looking for somebody to grab a drink with or whatever, I would feel cool to grab a beer with Annabelle or grab lunch with Annabelle, but I'm not going to go sit at Perry's with Annabelle.
Yeah.
Same thing with Alice or Ashley. Like, I would hang out with your friends without you there.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't go to, like, a nice steak dinner.
Yeah. Like, it would, it's and you would get a phone call from their boyfriends being like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Yeah.
I think, like, there's a level that you, if it feels weird, it's probably a date.
Yeah.
Like, you know where that is. But I think that in order to, like, kind of ask without asking, you do that, kind of sets the mood.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives her a chance to view you in a different way, too. You're not showing up in shorts and a very nice T-shirt.
That is a great shirt of the best recording studio of all time.
A very nice T-shirt.
Yes.
But, it, you know, she gets to see you in a dress shirt, maybe a suit jacket. You know, you're not crushing cheap beer. Maybe you're ordering a nice cocktail. And when the check comes, you have the opportunity to pay, which is obviously probably going to make her feel like it's a little bit more of a date as well. And then you can gauge reactions, especially if you're already looking for those things to see, like, how they pass the test.
And you said the term friend zone. I know that term is a term, one that scares men. I don't think this is, you guys have been friends for about a year. It seems like this guy's, you know, been on dates of his own. She had a relationship. This is not, to me, when I hear friend zone, like, I got friend zoned. It's, you know, guy went to a woman and said, like, I would like to date you. And she says, ooh, I just see you as a friend. And then kind of, like, shuffles you into this. You feel shuffled and placed into this box or something like that. Like, I don't think that this applies to this guy at all. Like, I don't think she was in a relationship. Like,
yes and no. I mean, like, technically he is her friend and doesn't want to be there.
Yes.
So I would say he's in the friend zone because he is somewhere he does not want to be.
Yeah. It's not the same as already being told, like, I just see you as a friend.
Yeah.
So I don't want that him to think of this mindset, like, I got to crawl my way out and change someone's mind because she isn't. Yeah.
But if dinner goes well, and she lets you pay for the ticket, and body language and reactions and everything seems really good, then, you know, maybe at the end of the night you say something like, we should do that again sometime.
Yeah.
Kind of see what she says. And if it gets brought up, I mean, depending on how direct she is, if it gets brought up that maybe it is a date or, like, whatever, then you go, like, yeah, I mean, like, I had a good time. I think you're great. And I wouldn't want to lose you as a friend, so I wouldn't, you know, want to pursue this if that's on the table, but I would like to get to know you. You never know.
Pick somewhere you would have fun going anyway, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
And then just in general, any tips or guidance from your perspective about, you know, pursuing someone who's maybe just out of a relationship? You know, sometimes people fear being, like, a rebound, things like that.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's an answer to that question because you're going to have 100 different people say 100 different things. Some people are going to tell you, like, you need to give them as much time as they were in the relationship to get over the relationship, and you're going to have whatever. But like you said, he's like, I don't want someone else to swoop in and get there before I do. So if that's your worry, then swoop in.
True. And I think
don't be pissed if the, you know.
Yeah.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
True. I think I'm thinking more along the lines of people just out of relationships, especially 6 years, like, they're rusty. They maybe don't know what they want. Like, you know, how do you protect yourself from potentially, you know, no one intends to make someone a rebound, but, you know, what kind of happens is people can't articulate or explain their feelings and, you know, kind of do that unintentionally.
Yeah, guys, I don't think that happens as much for guys because guys are the pursuer. So, like, in most cases, the guy is the pursuer. So, like, they have to go after someone if they want to date someone. You don't really have, like, doesn't usually just fall in your lap. Sometimes, obviously, but most of the time, like, you have to go and get it if you want it. And no, so I think that a lot of times guys, like, don't think about that, which is probably why guys get hurt a lot and get their feelings hurt a lot, is because they shoot their shot when maybe they shouldn't. But if they don't, like you said, somebody's going to. She's going to date somebody else eventually.
Yeah, she seems fun.
So how long are you going to wait?
Yeah.
I think the best way is to kind of wade into it. Don't jump right into the pool. I personally wouldn't ask. I would kind of go slow with it.
Yeah. I mean, you're having fun. Like, she, you just kind of, like, I will say, they just kind of had this, you know, I just broke up with my situationship. I just broke up with my girlfriend. Like, you know, you're doing hangouts, showing around the city, like, you know, maybe one more walking tour around Lady Bird Lake, and you just kind of, how have you been? Oh, how's the breakup? Like, I don't know, swap war stories about, you know, your shitty breakups. And
I disagree. I think that's how you end up in the friend zone. If you become her confidant, after her breakup, and you become one of the girls, but you're a guy, that's an easy way for her to see you as the friend after the breakup and look for something else.
You know what? Touche.
Make your intention clear. One-on-one, sit down, pay.
If you're a, if you're this guy and sending a text message to invite her to this steak dinner, what's your text say?
Something casual, one-on-one first. I wouldn't go steak dinner first. I would go to ice cream or something first.
What's your text to ice cream say?
I would make a comment about it being hot, have a long day. It's been a long half of the week. Really craving some ice cream. If you're friends on Instagram, because a lot of people communicate through memes, maybe send one of their posts. See what she says back. If she says something like, that looks good, like, we should go grab some.
Yeah.
It's hot. It's been a long
your
first half of the week.
Your local meme, like the happy, what's the happy hour deal on Wednesdays? Yeah,
like, something like that.
We got to go to this. Just literally just send it. We got to go to this.
Yeah. I want to go grab some. You want to go do this? Or, you know, so-and-so's got my favorite happy hour on Wednesdays. Let's go grab a bite, whatever. I think something like that. And if it goes well, I think it, the next is, you know, give like 3 or 4 days notice and say, I've been really wanting to try this place. You want to go? Friday, I've got a reservation.
Fuck yeah.
If you already say you have a reservation, like.
But don't say I made it and someone else canceled it.
No, no, no. Just say like, I've got a reservation for Jay Carver's Friday at 7:30.
And pick somewhere you would go to anyway.
Yeah.
I really want to go to Jay Carver's. I've heard such good things. Guys being cagey type situations. These are women writing in. So, we'll start. Okay. First one. Ex-coworker keeps DMing me. Realize he has a fiance. I, 28 female, spent a weekend in my hometown for a friend's wedding when I bumped into an old coworker from when I lived in the area as I was leaving the welcome party. It was a chance encounter. He wasn't at the wedding. We worked together as peers in the same department, different team for about 2 years at my past company. We weren't necessarily friends in the general sense, but I'd say we were work friends. We'd go to lunch in larger groups, make small talk in the kitchen here and there, and we're part of a few mutual group chats, that sort of thing. His vibe felt flirty, but he was like that with everyone, so I chalked it up to him being nice. Convo during run-in was normal, basic stuff, where we're living, working, things like that. He mentioned he wasn't happy at his current job and said he heard good things about mine and asked if we could stay in touch if anything opened up where I'm at. I said, sure. No mention of personal relationships or anything like that. Nothing felt weird here. I got home that night, had a new Instagram follower request from ex-coworker. I accept and follow back. Nothing weird on Instagram profile. Only 100 followers or so. A few simple beach posts. No signs of significant other, but I was not thinking of him like that. He sent a brief, great seeing you, let's stay in touch message. That's fine. But later that night, after like 11, he sent a few obscure and kind of sexual memes. They felt random, and at first I thought it was a mistake or part of a mass message of sorts. I didn't respond. Tuesday morning rolls around, sends another DM, said it felt like it was fate that he ran into me because he was just about to rage quit at his job that he hates. I ignored the fate comment. I said I was sorry to hear that and planned to keep my ear out for any openings at my company. He then said he missed our old office and felt like everyone was so close where he could open up to people, then said, especially you, could I confess something to you? I said, sure. At this point, I wanted to believe this was work-related, and he replied saying, you always smelled so good, and he always grabbed a hot desk near me whenever he could because of it, especially because Josh smelled so bad. I ignored his comments but said, haha, and yes, Josh smelled fucking terrible. He responded asking, do you still wear that same perfume? Please say yes. I didn't respond. Over the next day or so, I got a few sporadic, random, slightly sexual memes from ex-coworker, which I ignored. That Thursday, I got a text saying, hey, it's ex-coworker. I thought I still had your number. Texting in case it's easier. Also, I got a haircut today and sent a bathroom selfie of the cut. I gave that a thumbs up. That Sunday, another text saying,
okay, just block it. Just block him. The story's too long. Block him.
Yeah, she keeps going. That's not her question. The story continues. That's not her question. He's doing weird, intrusive, cagey stuff. But then, yeah, she says, at this point, I picked up a vibe. Didn't feel enough. There's just enough plausible deniability that I don't feel right calling it out. And my hope is that he eventually gets the hint and finds a new victim. Nothing crazy. Not the first time I've dealt with a guy like this. What I wasn't prepared for, though, is as I was doing my monthly Facebook check, I saw him pop up on my people you may know list with a proposal pic as his profile picture. At first, I thought this might be an old or lost account, but no, full engagement of engagement photos.
Yeah, block him.
Posted a month ago. That's not her question. With his fiance, they've been together. He then went to check Instagram, searched the name out of curiosity. I found a much larger, regularly updated account with his fiance posted regularly. Whatever he was using to message me was clearly a secret. I'm not interested in this man. That this is not an if or how to reject or if these are signs that he is into me. I don't care. I'm not interested. But I do feel icky, like I was roped into some sketchy guy's plan. I'm not sure if his asks about the job at my company are genuine, but part of me feels like this guy could continue and interject himself into areas of my life. The amount of mutual connections and being in a similar industry are the only things keeping me from just blocking and telling him to fuck off. I feel like I have to be very careful in how I bring this up. I am cautious to ignore in this case because I'm scared he will apply to a job at my company or something like that. How do I politely tell this guy to go away without risking fallout in my professional?
You don't, because you waited way too long. She just like that her story dragged on for way too long. She's dragged this on way too long. As soon as she was uncomfortable, she should have blocked him. It's not on you to keep a relationship where you feel uncomfortable because you're afraid it may hurt you professionally.
No, I agree.
Block him.
Yeah.
If you're worried about his fiance, tell her. If you don't want to get wrapped up in it, block him. That's really simple. I think that at some level, she probably enjoyed the attention. And I'm not saying that what he did was right. Like, he obviously is like annoying and she should, like I said 10 times now, block him. But like, there's probably a piece of her that like, even if she wasn't enjoying it, like wanted to know what he was going to say next or whatever the case is. But unless he's like, even if he is like a level higher than her that could somehow help her career, which it doesn't sound like that's the case, block him.
Yeah. I think there is like, because when you like, I have been in weird worky situations where it's like they haven't said anything like directly to imply they're trying to flirt or something. And it's like, they just say enough where it's like, you feel like you have to be kind of polite back or just keep the peace.
Stop there. Why do you have to be polite back? If someone's making you even remotely uncomfortable, why do you have to be polite back?
Because they have somehow roped a work discussion into it.
Completely disagree. There's not two options. It's not polite and rude. There's indifferent as well.
Right.
So when you are DMing back and forth on social media with someone, you are inviting them to continue to talk to you.
Right.
If she never responds to him again, she can not block him. She can just never respond to him again. There's nothing wrong with that.
True. Like,
she is inviting this to continue.
No. And yeah, like, I think where I see is like because we're reading it in hindsight, like she's clearly reading it like after she's fed up. But the thought of, you know, like it seems like she's only responding to the things that are work related, which is what she thinks is probably safe at first, where it's like, you know, yes, this person smells bad, this weird other thing you're saying, like, I'm just going to ignore it.
Yeah, but the guy who is doing those things, this is where I get so annoyed with people. Mm. What is she gaining from this? What does it serve her to respond to that one comment about the way someone smelled?
And that, I think it's just...
It doesn't.
The idea that somebody from work who could be a connection later, and some people think that way about their careers. Like some people are just like in their heads where they think if I piss anybody off, I will never get a job again. This person will go and like go scorch earth, kind of like how people think that
I would rather never have a job again than to be uncomfortable around everyone that I worked with all the time and worried that I couldn't be myself because if I didn't respond to weird DMs on Instagram, that I was never going to have a job again. That sounds like a hell that I would rather be unemployed than work in.
Fair. You are also not a people pleaser. You are a...
I am a people pleaser to people that deserve to be pleased. I will go to the ends of the earth to make people happy, but yeah, you have to have a line.
Yeah, that's just being a good person. People pleaser is like you want everyone to like you too, obsessive.
Oh, you're right. I'm realistic.
Yes, exactly. But
and smart.
But some,
to know that you can't be everyone's friend.
Yeah.
Everyone's not going to like you. And so it's on you to know and have a little self-respect and cut that off. A little self-confidence goes a long way. And if you were self-confident in your ability and your career, then you wouldn't feel like responding to creepy DMs from a guy that you don't even work with that make you uncomfortable would somehow further your career. Block them. Quit responding.
Fair.
If someone makes you uncomfortable, you do not have to respond.
No,
and if he gets a job at your company... and you're afraid it's going to hurt your career, go to HR and say, this person sends me weird stuff online. I would rather not be in these situations with them or whatever else.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I actually would almost say, like, I wouldn't hesitate to go preemptively to HR. Like, and this is going to, it's going to sound sure. silly, but like, if you ever go into an HR office, they're not doing anything. No disrespect, my aunt who listens is in HR. I love you, Aunt Heather. But she also is a person who has shared this type of advice with me. Is if you have like a person who has told you they want to apply to your company and makes you uncomfortable, this happens at like every company I've worked at. Like something like this happens where someone, you know, that knows you in your personal life is like wants to apply to your company. They think it sounds so great. And for whatever weird personal reason, you don't want this person working there. Maybe they are a person that makes you uncomfortable. Maybe they like,
that's literally,
you know,
HR
bullied
job.
You in the second grade. But like, it is A-okay to go and to HR and privately say, and like, if you go in saying like, I know this sounds
right,
fucking
that's
weird.
Their job.
They've heard weirder.
That's their job.
Just be like, I bumped into this person I used to know. They've been being weird, but they have said that they would like to apply to the company. It seems like they intend to, whether I help them or not. Just, I want to give you a heads up, like, that this person has done this. They make me uncomfortable. Just heads up if you ever see this person's application come through. And they will, because HR's job is to protect the company. You work at the company. They don't. They will take that into account. That doesn't screw anyone's chances of getting a job anywhere. Like, it's just like a... your company thing. Like, it will stay confidential. HR has heard way weirder. You are not going in there with a crazy request.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, for anyone watching this, don't let stuff like that drag on.
It's
like an infection. The longer you allow that to drag on, worse it's going to get.
True. I will say some kinds of, like, it does feel like it kind of creeped its way in. Like, oh, hey, like, yeah, sure, I'll keep my ears open. Like, that's a normal
Disagree.
Thing to do.
The very beginning of her message, she felt uncomfortable. She didn't like it from the beginning.
Yeah, she didn't like the weird DMing.
So if you don't like it from the beginning, don't let it keep going.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that she's, like, that it's not... Obviously, like, he is in the wrong here, if anyone's in the wrong... But, like, you can cut it off. He's not showing up to her house.
Yeah.
He's not showing up to her work. You have autonomy. Like, you have the ability to not respond to people.
Yeah.
Don't respond to them. That goes for anybody that makes you uncomfortable ever.
Mm.
A guy you meet on a dating app, a guy that you see at the bar, someone that works at your local coffee shop. You do not have to be polite and nice. You can be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
Polite, maybe you should be polite, but when someone crosses a line, cut them off.
Yeah. What is a polite and respectful, firm way that a woman can tell a man to F off in a way that will make him go away?
In person or on the phone?
Either or.
In person, just say, I'm really not interested. Like, please leave me alone.
Mm-mm. Text? Or because a lot of these are happening.
If it's on your phone, digital. Block them.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
I don't know why so many people have such a problem. Like, my block list is forever long. On social media, I have, like, the maximum amount of people blocked.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had anyone try to go around your block list?
Yes.
I blocked
some guy. So I made a video about, gosh, I don't know, probably a year ago. I don't even know what it was about. And this guy, it was a controversial video that was getting a ton of views. People were arguing in my comments back and forth. And this guy was on my side.
Mm-hmm.
He was defending me. But he would respond to everybody. And it would be the same response. Like, he was copying and pasting it to every single person. So I would get like 20 notifications from Bob or whatever. Like, I just get sick of seeing this guy. He's annoying me. Block. So he made another account and DM'd me. And he goes, hey, did you block me? I said, yeah, I'm about to block this account too. He was like, why? I said, you're annoying. And I blocked him. It's my phone. It's my account. If I don't want to talk to you, I will not talk to you.
Respect.
I think that you only have so much bandwidth as a person. So think of it like a plate of French fries. I was going to say a pizza, but you don't eat cheese. If you guys don't know that, Charlotte doesn't eat cheese.
I don't find it. I find it not good.
We'll get there. She's going to learn too.
No.
But think if you have a basket of French fries and you're at the bar. And it's you and Ashley sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
The two of you can share that basket of French fries. There might be 50 fries in there, and you each get 25. You get to share 50 fries with someone that you care about. Or you can give one fry to everyone in the bar, people that you don't know, that you don't like, whatever. You only have so much to go around. I would much rather get rid of all the people that I do not care to share my fries with and share more fries with less people.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can only give so much of yourself.
True.
I would rather give it to people who also pour back into me.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
But so many people, and I think part of it comes from a lack of confidence.
Yeah.
I think that they're afraid that they can't stand on their own 2 feet in the business world or whatever the case is. And so they feel like they need to lean, be able to, even if they may never, they want to make sure they can always lean on someone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that way.
There's some people that just, they hate the idea that somebody in the world hates them.
I don't even think it's a hate. I think it's just like she sounds like she wants to, like, I don't know, use him to further her career in some way, or she's afraid that, like, he may hold her back or it's going to get weird. But, like,
it's clear because he's not like he's not her ex-boss. Like, it doesn't sound like he was the type that was.
Yeah. I think way too many people lead people along way too long. And it's not like even in the dating world necessarily, but like cut people off.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Like, I keep my circle really small. Mm-hmm. And it's done with intention.
Yeah. Is there such a thing as a creepy woman? Like, have you ever had a woman that you would call creepy or like made you uncomfortable like this?
There are women that did things that if a man did it to you, you would think it's creepy, but that dynamic exists far less in the way that men think of it because we aren't threatened by women.
Yeah. What behaviors have you seen or like had your friends see that were kind of like, whoa, like.
I mean, same kinds of things, like same things that happen. Like, you might get texts or DMs, or you notice that someone's like liked every Instagram post that you've made or, you know, whatever, stuff like that. Maybe you notice that someone seems to like show up to the gym the same time you do every day or I don't know. It's literally the same things. I just think that like you always see things online about like girls only find it creepy if they're not attracted to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another like unspoken thing in that dynamic that like part of what makes it creepy is that like creepy is like scary and gross mix, kind of.
Yeah, it's like, or it's like a threat that you can't confirm. Like, it's no one's like,
it makes you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah,
like, creepy, like, makes you feel uncomfortable. Yeah. And part of that is like a fear of like what that person might do.
Mm-hmm.
And just like in general, men aren't physically afraid of women.
Yeah.
Like the average man versus the average woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that creepy exists in the same way.
Mm-hmm. Maybe missing signals and being inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. Like, yeah. I've even gotten like messages on TikTok and I just don't even approve.
Yeah.
The DM. And it's not like anything gross or anything like that, but I'll notice that like someone likes everything that I put up as soon as I put up, and then like sends me a DM and says, you know, whatever, and I just ignore it.
Yeah. I mean, I did it once. I was just first.
Yeah.
And
I was in a comment section, but yes.
Yes.
But yeah, so I don't know. I think that like in order for like creepy to be there, there has to be like an element of fear. And mm-hmm. I don't think that most men have a fear of women in that way. So I don't think that... I'm not saying that women don't do creepy stuff. They definitely do. I mean, you can have a woman that stalks you. Like, obviously, you can have a woman that threatens to kill you or is crazy
mm-hmm.
in that way. But, like, I don't think most guys think of those things as creepy in the moment. I think mm-hmm. it takes, like, a minute of reflection to realize that it was, like, a little off.
Yeah.
In order to feel that way.
Yeah.
Whereas I think girls think about being like, creeped out all the time.
Well, because you're, like... No matter how big, small a man is, they can physically overpower you. Like a guy who's my height can physically overpower me.
Yeah.
Most people are taller than me. So.
Yeah. So I think that that's an element. But yeah, like women are creepy as well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot less, but I think that also we talked about a little bit earlier, like in the dynamic of male and female relationships, a lot of times like the man is the hunter and the woman is the mm-hmm. prey. So like the man is the one asking out, the man is the one approaching and asking if you want to drink or things like that. So like a lot of times the men are going to come off creepy a lot more
mm-hmm.
because they have to pursue.
Yeah.
Whereas like the women aren't going to come off creepy because
mm-hmm.
it's not creepy to sit at a bar and want someone to buy you a drink.
Yeah. Or just anything.
To walk up to someone at a bar and offer to buy a drink.
Yeah, or anything you do is seen as like, ooh, you shot your shot, like, go girl kind of thing. Like, yeah. I'm doing something different.
And I'm all for that.
Yeah.
But, and I think that also because, I mean, I think that a lot of times guys don't see it as creepy because a lot of times guys will, like, even lower their standards and say yes to maybe a date they wouldn't. Because the girl asked.
Yeah.
It's rare.
Yeah. Like, so I hate the term easy, but it does, like, because it's not the same as, like, oh, like, just come home and, you know, whatever. But it is easier when someone offers something to you versus having to go get it yourself.
Yeah. I mean, like, a girl asking a guy out is so rare
mm-hmm.
that I think that the guy is almost like, I would have never.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, I had a girl come up to me one time at the gym several years ago and like asked me out and mm-hmm. I was like so caught off guard
mm-hmm.
and like, I mean, we went and shot pool, but obviously I didn't even go on a second date with her or anything, but like in the moment I'm like literally like, first of all, I was working out, but I was like so rare.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you are a guy, you've probably asked 100 girls out at minimum.
Yeah.
Whether it's offering to buy a drink or whatever, to a dance, you might get asked out twice.
Yeah.
Your whole life.
Yeah.
Which is crazy when you think about the other way around. Like,
oh, totally.
Girls get asked out thousands of times over the course of their life.
Yeah.
And might ask out one person ever.
For sure. Yeah. And so it's great because like certain dating coachy high value types, but also like kind of neutral, like female dating people with ideas say like, this is why you shouldn't ask a man out, because if you do, like, they're always going to say yes because it's just so rare, and like you won't actually know if they're if they pursued you, it means they singled you out because they know you're interested. Like, most guys will just say yes to that because it's so rare, and like, you know, it's, they take it as an invitation that they can have whatever situation they want because you came to them. Like, would you agree with that? Or and they encourage women not to ask guys out because of that.
No, I completely disagree. And also, like, I mean, maybe I'm really off on this, so I apologize if I am, but of all the dating coaches I see online, none of them are married and in happy long-term relationships with kids and families.
That's true. They are.
I'm not hiring a boxing coach that's the worst boxer in boxing. I'm not hiring a chef that can't cook. Why would you hire, like, when people hire a football coach, they don't go, who's the worst person at this that's never been successful?
True. No, I agree. I will say that
dating coaches are experts in being single.
That is true. I do think the inverse, though, isn't always true. Like, someone who's been married for 50 years, like, even someone who's been married for 5 years, they start to have these, like, out-of-touch kind of takes where it's just like, oh, you know.
Well, I mean, 50 years, you're talking about someone that's 70 years old.
But I've got some smug married friends who are just like, oh, you just do this. It's like, I don't know about that. But, no, I agree. Like, they're never in long-term relationships. Like, it's always a gimmick.
I think if someone's telling you what not to do in dating, I think as a dating coach, your shtick should be to tell people what to do, not what not to do. Because obviously you are a work in progress yourself.
Yeah.
So I think you should encourage people and coach people and try to lead them down a path. Don't stand at the path and say, don't go down there. Because I disagree with their statement that you're talking about. I think that you should, if you're a girl and you're interested in a guy, you should ask him out. First of all, it shows that you're confident. You're probably going to get a yes. If you get a no, sorry about it. You tried. Welcome to our world. And maybe he does lower his standards and say yes when he normally wouldn't. And you still go on a date and now you have an opportunity.
Yeah. And you're not too dumb that you can't figure that out on your own.
Like, imagine that I wanted to be a personal trainer. And I went to someone and was like, can I personal train you? And they're like, you don't really have the qualifications I normally look for, but I'll give you a workout to prove yourself. And maybe I'll see value in you as a coach and have a good time and want to hire you again. That's the same thing with dating. They might go like maybe I don't usually go for the blonde or she's taller or whatever the case is, but I respect that she has confidence. And so I go and I'm respectful and enjoy my time. And if we go our separate ways, we had a nice time together.
True.
But also, maybe it's someone that I wouldn't normally date that I've given a chance that now I want to see again.
Yeah. And I wouldn't even say it's like giving a chance. It's more just like I'm open to the possibility. Like,
I mean, anytime you go on a date with someone, you're giving them
a chance. That's true. Yeah, like, and I think you're not too dumb that you can't figure it out for yourself. Or, like, just because you asked them out doesn't mean you can't say, like, you know, yes, like, I came to you, I knocked on your door, but no, this isn't going to be, you know, we do everything on your terms and go back to your house and Netflix and chill. Like,
well, it also doesn't mean that you have to be, like, in the masculine role traditionally in the date and in the relationship. Like, you can ask someone on a date and then step back and allow them to, like, set up the parameters of that date.
Yeah.
And you can allow them to pick you up, allow them to pay. It doesn't mean that you have to, like, because you asked that you have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a lot of men feel that way. Maybe men online feel that way, but men online are also single and unhappy. So, but I think that you can, like, still have a traditional style date.
Oh, for sure.
And ask. I think more women should ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that you would have a lot more success and probably enjoy dating. Like, that would be my challenge to every woman that sees this. If you're single, ask three guys out. You'll understand rejection a lot more if you get rejected. You'll understand the pressure of actually doing it. And I think it'll give you a different appreciation for dating if you actually put yourself in someone else's shoes.
I agree. I always, like, when I was single, I had fun. I had so much fun just asking guys out. I thought it was just, I loved the flustered look and how excited they would get. And then when I learned, like, it was before I even knew, like, men, like, oh, you know, people saying men don't get compliments. And I had no idea. I was like, oh, shit. I didn't realize I was doing something so useful.
Also, as a girl, you don't have to ask a guy out to ask him out. You can just be like,
true. No, I really
like those
just,
boots.
Yeah, like, compliment the shoe.
Open
like,
the door.
The second, what are you drinking? Oh, like, the second, what are you drinking? That was just, it opened the door for, it opened so many doors.
Open the door and stand there for 5 minutes and you're going to get asked out.
Exactly. I have one more question. Another over... thinker, guy doing weird things. Okay, weird coffee date with old high school crush. I'm 25 female, live 4 hours from my hometown, come back to visit family for weekends regularly. On a handful of occasions, I've gone on dates as part of these visits, nothing crazy. Some are initiated from apps, most are someone, but often they're someone previously known through school or friends of friends. It's a small town. I've loosely kept in touch with a guy, same age, that I had a brief relationship, quote, quote, with in the seventh grade who lives in said hometown. This is by no means someone I consider an ex, but I always found him pretty hot as we got older and always wanted to keep the door open to reconnect. Since I've moved, we've occasionally texted, mostly updates or questions about things going on back home, like the wildfires or stuff about people in our friend group, which would lead to small talk or random personal stuff. What, not obvious flirting, but I still felt a vibe. We had another one of those texts. We had another one of those texts related to the fires. A few days before I was set to come home for the weekend, I casually mentioned I'd be back in the area, and he responded positively, so I said, hey, let's get some coffee and catch up. I felt like this text was clearly flirty, and he enthusiastically accepted. I even said it's a date, we picked a time, place, and everything. Got to the coffee shop, he arrived. Right from the start, he seemed fidgety and nervous, as though he were waiting for someone to walk in. When I asked what he was up to, he said something surprising. He was in the process of moving in with his girlfriend and had stepped out for a bit to take a break. So he apologized if he looked sweaty and tired. I made sure not to flinch and congratulated him and asked how long they'd been together. He said 2 years. He continued being fidgety and weird, so I changed the subject to some other small talk, treating him as a friend going forward. Even then, he still seemed uncomfortable. After exactly an hour and 15 minutes, he got up saying he had to get back to his move and basically sprinted out of the coffee shop. I didn't text, tried to let the weird interaction roll off my back and let things fade, but the next morning I got a text from said guy asking if I called his phone late last night from a blocked number. I said no. He said, oh, weird. Someone called like 3 times. That never happens. I didn't respond. I'm very confused by how this went. The first reason being his game time reveal of a serious significant other. Over the years, we never directly asked one another about relationship statuses, but it should have come up with the type of question or topics that got brought up. Between that and his general tone, I walked into that coffee shop feeling very confident he was single. The possibility of it being otherwise didn't occur to me, and that we were meeting for a date. The second reason is that he clearly anticipated this being the case ahead of time. This was not someone who was completely aloof, where it somehow slipped their mind to say something. He was acting weird the whole time and ran out and then out of nowhere accused me of hang-up calls. My question is, it's one thing to be in a situation where communication isn't read as flirty and revealing girlfriend slips your mind and you agree to meet with someone for coffee, old friend, thinking it's nothing more than that, and you're surprised to realize otherwise once there. I could even understand getting caught up in some flirty, unserious texting thing with a person who lives far away and then panic and run when you realize this person is taking things seriously and asked to meet. But this guy showed up for a coffee date that he clearly knew he shouldn't be at, with the idea that I saw it as a date just to have what seemed like a stressful and miserable time for an hour. I didn't pressure him in any way. He could have said no or gotten up, and he weirdly seemed hell-bent on sticking it out. Why would you do this? And why act like I was insistent or desperate to interact with him? Or was I in the wrong here? I really had no idea he wasn't single and don't think I pursued him aggressively or at all, really, or anything. Any thoughts here? What gives?
She's just thinking about it way too much. She thought it was the date. He didn't. He felt uncomfortable, and he left. He got weird phone calls, asked if it was her. I think that's a nothing burger.
Yeah. So why would someone go on a like, she said he was weird right when he came in. Like, if he got a vibe, it was like, why would he agree to it?
Maybe he got in a fight with his girlfriend right before he left the house. She asked what he was doing, and she said, he said he was going to have coffee with a friend from high school, asked who, said who it was. Maybe she didn't like it.
Mm. I mean,
seems like a whole lot of nothing, though. Like, nothing happened. He wasn't rude to her.
No, that's true.
He just said he had a girlfriend. Good. Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, the
got
thing that
left
made,
right away.
Yeah.
And the call later on, I mean, he got hang-up calls.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what made him think that it was her, but like,
maybe he felt like it was too convenient. Like,
or maybe he doesn't get contacted by a lot of women. She was the most recent woman he was in contact with. I mean, I'm not, again, not excusing his actions, but like,
yeah,
I think you're reading way too much into it. He has a girlfriend, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You have to move on anyway, so.
Yeah. I think people just hate the idea that they, like, look like the weirdo or look like the creepy person. It's like, am I the problem? Like, what did I do here? Like, what did I miss? Like, I think that is people's biggest fear is just, like, you miss some social cue. Like, you walk in, you're like, what? Like, this person could have told me, or like, you know, their door was open for them to leave or say otherwise. Like, I feel like I'm just, you know, I feel like I'm being pigeonholed as this person who pressured someone. Like, I think everyone's probably afraid just
being
of
respectful and having coffee with her. And he's in the middle of moving.
Yeah.
So that's probably why he felt a little off. And then obviously their vibes are going to be very different if she thinks she's going on a date and he's taking a coffee break from moving in with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's very, very different.
Yeah. I also think 25, like people at 25, like that is not, you know, like immature or anything by any means, but like people have a hard time like articulating their feelings. I feel like there's also just a weird kind of jump from being like childhood friends sort of. And then like, you know, you're like, I think there's just this sort of behavior is to be, you wouldn't see this from a 30-year-old or a 35-year-old, I feel like.
I mean, maybe she also had a glow up or a glow down in the meantime, and he hadn't seen her in a while, expected to see someone different.
Yeah.
Maybe she was, like, way more attractive and...
Or, yeah, if she showed up to this coffee date dressed for a date and he's got his media pouch shirt on.
Which is a very nice shirt.
It is a very nice shirt. And but it's,
anyway, yeah, job, like yeah. maybe she wasn't very attractive and now she's more attractive and he wasn't expecting that. He's like, if my girlfriend sees me, she'll be pissed that I'm here with a girl who's like dressed really nice and is attractive versus Becky I went to middle school with or whatever, you know.
So, yeah.
I don't know.
It's got to be something. Yeah, chalk something it up weird.
As a loss. Yeah. I'll take L's.
Life is awkward. People do weird shit.
Something that awkward.
Yeah.
Still had coffee and caught up with him for an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? That's what she said.
Yeah.
How long do you want someone to sit at a coffee shop with you?
Not longer than that. Sounds wicked boring.
Especially when they say that they're in the middle of moving.
Yeah, no.
Like if
someone said that to me, I would be like, go. Like, what are you doing with me?
If we were in a coffee shop right now and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm in the middle of actually moving. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize that. Thanks for taking time to have a coffee with me. Let me know whenever you need to wrap up and get out of here so you can get back to your move. I don't want to keep you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be like, cool. Anyway, let's sit here for the next hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't do anything wrong, but like, no. I just think it's one of those things that, you had different intentions.
Yeah.
Goes to what we were saying just before this, that like guys have that happen to them all the time. Girl says, hey, I like your boots. And you're like, oh, cool. You want to go on a date? And she's like, no, I just like your boots.
Yeah.
Oh, well, sorry.
This girl tried. She got the guy treatment.
Yeah. But she didn't, he wasn't rude.
No.
And she wasn't weird.
No. She got.
So you had coffee with somebody.
She got the guy experience in a way.
She had.
You show up and you're like, oh, like, no, what do you mean? I'm with my boyfriend. Like, what the fuck?
Well, you have coffee with somebody. You chat with them for an hour and a half, took time out of their day from moving to come and meet with you. It just wasn't what you thought it was, but it wasn't an unpleasant experience. You were just expecting more. It's okay.
Yeah.
Happens. Happens to the best of us.
Yes, it does.
Yep.
Just like Wednesdays, which is wrapping up. Just like this episode is wrapping up.
Yeah, we're done.
We are. Thank you for listening.
You need to have
it. We do. Farewell.